find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Hey guys, it's Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup here. You listen to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, hello, everybody. I feel refreshed, Mike. I feel refreshed. It's been a whole...
Or what's going on?
It's been a whole week since we did the podcast. A whole week. We decided as a team that we weren't putting on the Thursday episode. We made that very clear. We're back here on a beautiful, fantastic Thursday episode again. So I'm glad we made that clear. And that it wasn't like anybody's fault that the Thursday episode.
It was our bye week, so what could we do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe one of us kind of forgot, and it was Saturday morning, and went, "Oh crap, I forgot to put up the Thursday podcast." I mean, maybe that hypothetical scenario. Maybe somebody on the team forgot.
It sounds like one of those like dramas where like the detective, what are you thinking, Mitchell? Here's what I'm thinking. The podcasters got together for an interview. They decided to release on Friday. The one podcaster had a little too much Friday night. He woke up. He said, "Oh, crap." Then he realized, "Oh, nobody cares." And then they showed up for Monday.
Almost, you almost nailed that identical scenario of what happened. I was going to put it up Friday. I had a bunch of things going on Friday because Thursday I had like, I don't know, work and volleyball, like a bunch of different things. And then I was like, all right, I'll just get it up Friday morning. And then I had like, went down to the lake, was hanging out, had a couple brewskis, and I had my Zoom meeting with my friends that I do, had a couple brewskis. And that basically turned into eliminating Saturday where I just felt like, I'm not doing anything today. Like, nothing. Like, just kind of watch Netflix and took the dog for a walk kind of day. So then Saturday, I'm like, well, why would I release it Saturday when we have an episode coming out Monday? It's just too, you know, people don't need to hear from us, Dad. So that may or may not have happened. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to the fans that were just waiting on bended knee for that second episode this week. But, judging by the numbers, you guys don't really like Thursday episodes anyway. So,
Yeah, I know Unsolved Mysteries came back, I think, on Netflix. So maybe
we'll figure that out on there.
Yeah, yeah. It could be maybe, one of the episodes.
Maybe the ghost of Robert Stack will come out and scare the living crap out of you as he describes a mystery. He always seemed like 10 times more scary than the actual mystery, it seemed like sometimes.
They're like, oh, get him off the screen. Give me the murder. Give me the murder.
Yeah. Well, seriously, he came out with a trench coat. Dark lit. He was by like a lamppost. He had like a trench coat on. And then they had like the it's all in the background.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it sounded like too. I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I toyed with writing theme songs for TV shows.
Did you?
That was. Yeah, that was my one hit. That, you know, I just walked into the office today. All right, hear me out.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I knew that about you. I knew that about you, but the audience probably didn't know that about you. Why don't you show them your one for what was that show? Oh, Cops. You were gonna do the Cops song. You finished second to Bad Boys, but What was it? Go, why don't you tell the audience? Go ahead.
Well, it was something like, hey, you bad person, we're coming to get you now.
Right.
We're the cops and we're not going to stop till we release you. Wow.
Yeah, I think the wow is where they were kind of like, it doesn't have the same oomph as Bad Boys, but you came close. Well, you were in the finale.
Well, the now and the wow rhyme, so I figured that was going to be enough to get me the money.
Little do people know that you also came up with the themes, the alternate for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot more wordy back then. It wasn't just The Simpsons. It was, how'd it go again?
It was like, everybody, it's a family. We're better than the Cosbys. It's the 80s. We're going to be off the air in 4 weeks. Don't worry about it. We're The Simpsons.
You know, that one was a little better than than the Cops one. But
yeah, I was a little off on when the show was going to end. I figured it was going to end with like Tracy Ullman, you know.
Right, right. But it was better than your first version of that, which was Yellow People. That was the name you were kept going. Yeah. Yellow People, watch them laugh and have some fun. Yellow People, Yellow People.
It had a gong sound effect in there for some reason too. I got really lectured by the HR people over at Fox.
Yeah.
But, then I got the job at Fox News a week later. But I digress. Hey.
But if you're just tuning in, that is Mike. I am Scott. I honestly feel glad to be back. It's I don't know. I like doing this thing, guys. So if it's your first time tuning in, this is the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We are a weekly podcast. We're definitely a weekly podcast. Occasionally, we're twice a week. We're twice a week. But you know, if we got something good for you, we'll put it out. We have a lot of great guests coming up too. Today is no different. But yeah, Mike, I'm glad that. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. But I'm glad that you're. I mean, it feels like it's been a hot topic on our podcast at least a couple weeks. The name of your beloved Washington Redskins, controversy and all, you know, controversy came with it. And Dan Snyder, he's a man of the people. He listens to the people. The guy is a clean as a whistle guy. No. There's nothing around him that is ever controversial. You know,
I dare you to Google Redskins and controversy and see if you get something. I guarantee you Google will be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he, all this BS about paying refs and pimping out cheerleaders. That was Jerry Jones started that rumor. Dan Snyder is a clean, great individual, great for football. The fans respect him. They come out in droves to the games because they love him so much. They have that owner chant, you know, like, our owner is the best. Hey, our owner is the best. Hey. It's amazing. The band plays Hail to Daniel. This year they'll play Hail to the football team.
Yeah, I'm a proud football team fan, Scott. We are the football teams. We have a proud history of being a football teams, and we're going to continue this tradition for, say, 12 months or so. But, we said, you know what? All these other teams worry about the flash of the nickname. Freak that. We only care about one thing, and that's the football team.
Well,
that's why us football teams are ready to go in 2020.
We
don't care about COVID. We don't care about the NFC East or Brady coming over to the Buccaneers. The football teams just know how to get together and make it work.
Well, I think it's a brilliant name because you guys could literally be like, we've been the football team for a long, long time. We have a rich history as a football team, but now we are the football team. Now, you're a Redskin fan or Washington football team fan, which sounds ridiculous. You're kind of, you know, you're anticipating the name change. There's all these pretty cool options. We've talked about it. We're not going to go into all of them. I was a fan of the Red Tails. You liked the Warriors, right?
Red Wolves.
Yeah. So acceptable names. I think they would have taken 2 years for everyone to get used to it. It would have been on your way. Everybody would be fine, you know? So you're Redskin fan, and you get the alert on your phone. Redskins have finally changed their name, and the football teams come out.
To the football team.
What is your reaction?
I mean, instant ugh, but I to a degree understandable, and to the point of that, it's one thing if this was February and all this stuff happened where it's like, all right, you got to change your name and you have months to like come up with a design, get a copyright, all that fun stuff. When you're literally talking about weeks before the season starting, to a degree, I understand why they just went with Washington football team. Now, I will say a better answer if you're going like this way, which was brought up by Pat McAfee, was DCFC.
Because it's fine. Yeah, that's fine. It at least has a little class to it. It sounds okay, you know?
It's interesting. It's got a soccer vibe, but still representing where you're at. And it just got like a little rhythm. It's like you can see the fans going, they're going down the field.
D-C-F-C.
Right, that works. That works.
Right. I mean, again, that I guess that falls into copyright stuff, but it's like, I mean, with everything else going on, it's almost fitting that Dan Snyder has to sit there and get laughed at for the name of the team. Like, I will sit back and say for all the like the chirpers on ESPN, like Kellerman, who's like, oh, you deserve this stupid name or whatever. It's like, all right, you didn't say anything when Jack Kent Cook had the team, and he pretty much said during the Super Bowl, I'm not changing it. I don't care if the Indians are outside Minnesota protesting. I think it's a cool nickname. Literally, I'm transcripting pretty much, but that's what he pretty much said.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with everything going on, it's almost like, all right, this is karma getting back at you, Dan. Like, you were the last Mohegan of the I'm so powerful, and this is my team, and this is my history, and it's not going to change, to now walking around with a plane.
I just can't wait for the announcers, like, touchdown, football team!
You know?
And the football team goes 8-8 again.
If we go 8-8, I'll be the most ecstatic football team fan ever.
I also love that it's going to take a whole lot of friends to paint football team on your chest. Like,
well, that's good. We'll finally sell out the damn stadium. It's been a quarter full and all of the opposing team's fans.
Yeah, you need 12 friends to do football team.
Yeah, that's awesome. 12. I mean, all you need is like about 600 of these 12 person fans, and then you'll sell out the stadium. It'd be amazing.
It'd be great if, like, you know how you can't really find a row together, so you guys have to sit in separate four sections. So it's like foot in one row, ball team, you know, in the other row, you got to find each other and haggle.
Yeah, I guess if you want to shorten it, like one guy will paint a foot on his chest, and the next guy will have a ball on his chest, and then you can have team. So that will eliminate it down to 6 people.
Yeah, I hate to be the guy that loses and has to have balls on his chest. Like, that's you. Sorry, Bill. You drew the short straw. You lost in beer pong. You are the balls.
He's just hearing it all day long. Shut up, man! I came here to enjoy my Sunday!
You ever paint your chest for anything?
No.
I did.
Really?
Yep.
What'd you paint?
I would say it's probably 1999-ish, maybe 2000 max. It was the USA men's national team versus Jamaica at MetLife Stadium. And me and my friends, we did USA, and the fourth guy was an exclamation point.
I'm going to call you A.
Now, I went with S. It's kind of fitting, you know, Scott, so I wanted the S. So I was the middle guy. Plus, I got to talk to my friends on both sides, so it was a good seat, cool. You know?
Look at you. Yeah. You really think out your chess painting. That's so good of you.
It's funny because it just seems like a different lifetime ago. Like, never could I be convinced to paint my chess now and be part of some team or something like that. I just don't care enough. But back then, it was just like, yeah, let's do it. And that's why it's always like young, drunk kids doing these things. It's never like, well, occasionally it is old, drunk guys. But it's never like normal people.
Now, was there any point in the game like the U.S. men's team was struggling and, you know.
It's the U.S. men's team. So, yes, the entire game.
So they're like struggling and they're like, you know, they're running down the pitch and they're just like, oh, I got no motivation. And they just turned to the fans and just saw your hairy chested S on you and like, I'm a United States American.
Yeah, I think there was a point, you know, Kobe Jones was like sucking wind and he just looked over and he's like, oh man, I'll score one for you. And then I think they lost
two. Finger at you, the double gun.
Yeah.
I see you, S. I like what I see.
That's a great S right there. He's a great S.
Is there talking to his friends, the U and the A? Yeah, I like this guy. I don't care about the rest. The exclamation point could go to hell.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah. So I did that. I guess in other, I guess we're doing sports right now, but in other, did you see the new hockey team?
Seattle Kraken.
I like it. I like it. I think it's a little outside of the box. I think it's not your normal, you know, animal, bears, hawks, whatever. And I think it's probably the first of its kind. I can't imagine there's another Kraken out there.
I don't think so. I mean, Kraken only got, like, pretty decent, like, I would say in the last, like, decade or so, like, people talk about releasing the Kraken and stuff like that. Maybe 15 years ago. So, I mean, I'm almost surprised. I mean, what isn't there, like, a whiskey or something named the Kraken?
Rum, yeah. The Kraken, yeah, black rum, yep.
So I'm a little surprised there wasn't a copyright on that scenario. But as for the name, it's freaking awesome. I think there's something about sports teams that when their mascot doesn't end in an S, there's something extra special about it.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know what it is. It's almost like why, like, my second favorite basketball team is the Utah Jazz. I can't explain it. Can't fathom a scenario where I end up in Utah to go see a Jazz game.
So you're like, so your whole thing is your second favorite team is the Jazz because you hate the letter S so much. You just,
I don't hate it, but I'm like, well, that's a change of pace. Good for the Jazz.
It'd be
silly if they were the Jazzes.
So you're, but what about like the Miami Heat? You must love them. They're pretty S-less.
I will say they got a pretty sweet uniform. I mean, the throwback Miami Vice colors. That's how I'm like, all right, they win a title. They beat up on Philly. I'll allow it.
You're the one guy in the stands. No S. No S.
That's why you didn't know this, but I was in the upper deck of that soccer game, and I was staring at you with that letter S on your chest, and I hated you for such a long time.
Oh, I'm like, sorry,
like
pal.
When we met up for the first time at the other podcast, like I had to be talked out of like punching you in the face because of that letter S. I gotta be honest.
I picture you like seeing me and being like, where do I know this guy from? And like these little memories coming back to you, like little flashes of memories, like ass, and you're like, what?
Then we were 15 episodes in this podcast. I'm like, well, now I can't do anything.
Sorry, I can't be caught, Brennan. I can't be caught for you.
Well, I mean, we can continue with our former guest, Dave Anderchuk, Tampa Bay Lightning. That's a pretty sweet name.
I hate the Lightning. I hate them. They always gave the Devils fits growing up. Like, they're always hard to beat for some reason. But
yeah, I mean, I kind of like the Phillies. For some reason, we can't beat the Marlins for the life of us. Kobe beat that, but yeah. I digress on that.
Yeah, it'll be a good baseball season for a week or two, and then they'll shut it down, and that'll be the end of that. But yeah, I like the Kraken. It
14 cases, so
yeah, I know it's a lot. It's a lot, and I the logo's okay. I do like the if you look at the anchor, it has a Seattle Space Needle in the middle, which I think is really cool. And I think Seattle will just embrace them and be the great sports town they are. Like the Sounders, the Seahawks, the Sonics when they were there. They just love their team. So I think it's going to be a big success over there. And I think it's a good move for the NHL.
Yeah, Seattle's almost like secretly became like one of the mega sports cities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when the Seahawks went to the outdoor stadium and they got all that noise, and like you said, when the Sounders came in the league, and everybody's like, "Wait a minute, we can sell out a football stadium with soccer."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They just like snuck up, because like in the 80s, like nobody thought about, man, I'd love to go to the Kingdome.
Well, listen, the Sonics just need to come back and complete the you know, I don't know what you call that, the foursome, I guess, five team, whatever. But they need to complete it, and if everybody remembers correctly, the Sonics. Now, I'm a Sonics fan. I literally can say that. That's the only team I ever really liked other than, like, the Bulls when I was, like, 8. But I fell in love with the Sonics because of Mr. Kemp and Mr. Payton and Mr. Schrempf. And I haven't had a team since. I didn't follow them into the Thunder. I don't know. I just didn't. And they'll come back. You got to remember, they didn't leave because they weren't getting attendance. They left because they weren't allowed to get a new stadium. And it's business. And they were like, well, see ya, you know. But, so, yeah, once they're back, they'll complete the trifecta or quadfecta or whatever word I'm looking for here, and Seattle will be right where it needs to be as far as a sports town.
No, I think they should never go back. I mean, they did the right thing. They went to Oklahoma City, got rid of the S, and became the Thunder.
Oh, that's right. You are a big – you are very, very big. You must hate the Supersonics. There's like –
I'm like – Jordan, destroy them.
Three S's, one name? No, four S's. Seattle Supersonics. Well, they're on your list.
Yeah, I'm like, it was bad enough when they say Sonics. Then they put the super in front.
You know what was cool? You know what was cool about liking Sonics, too? Because I grew up basically kind of liking the home teams. You know, the Devils, the Giants, the Mets, the home teams. And it was like that one team I had that was like, you know, who you like? The Nets, the Knicks? Nah, I'm a Sonic. Like, it was that one team that I had that was kind of like far away, and I didn't really have a reason per se, and it was kind of like fun to like them. But
yeah, well, that's why I give it the football teams.
Team.
I'm trying to think. It is just team. Oh, no way.
It better be just team. Otherwise, you're, I don't know.
Yeah. now I'm digging this. Yeah. Yeah. This Red Wolf stuff.
Yeah, you're not the teams. You're just one team. So you're just a football team. But this is a great segue into our guest, honestly. NHL making moves. NHL coming back. I'm very excited for our next guest. It was a guest that took some talking back and forth. And we had him lined up for a March interview. And then this whole thing came up that stopped the whole world, you know, and
refresh my memory.
Yeah, it was the Washington football team dilemma. Oh, everybody was on pause, you know, couldn't decide what they wanted. But so COVID came up, and he wanted to do the interview, you know, more when the NHL season was prevalent, and I totally agree. And this guy, you've seen him before. You've seen him carrying the greatest trophy in sports. I don't think that's even negotiable. There's
make a debate. I mean, about the closest might be the World Series, but
yeah, that one's cool. That one's cool, but it's not the same. This one, the Stanley Cup is held. You need two hands, and it's the same trophy, and the celebrations they do with it. Like the Lombardi trophy is pretty lame. It's just like a stick with a ball on it.
Yeah.
Some of the soccer trophies are pretty cool, but they don't compare to the Stanley Cup. And your name's on there for, I don't know, maybe we'll ask him, but your name's on there for however many years, decades and decades and decades until it gets put into the Hall of Fame.
The one trophy I really liked obviously it's no longer around.
Your participation trophy in the
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you remember the World Football League? Or
yeah,
I guess it was the World League. They had like a crystal globe
okay.
that was the trophy, and I don't know if they carried it on when it was like NFL Europe and all, but just like it looked so amazing. It was like crystal clear through. It looked like a. Like it was shaped ice and all. It was
there's one other trophy that I love as much as the Stanley Cup, and that was the Agro Crag from Guts.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, you know I've looked up trying to get a piece of the Agro Crag, like some kid who's selling it from when he was a kid, and like just to have. Is there more of a conversation piece in your basement? Like Mike, picture your basement right now. The way I see you, I always see all your fun stuff, your man cave, quote unquote. Imagine you just had a slice of the Agro Crag from Guts sitting right behind you. I mean, we would record everything, and people would always be like, "Is that the Agro Crag?" You know. And I only found one once, and it was like way out of my price range, especially with like. You know, wife, a mortgage, and a baby coming up. I can't be like, babe, I got this piece of the Agro Crag for $1,000. You know?
This is where the baby will sleep.
Let's paint this room lime green. You know,
every night before it goes to bed, good night, my little child. What do you got? Guns. This is your godfather. His name is Mike O'Malley. All right.
Oh. You know, speaking of that, you did have the other theme song for Guts that I think they used for one episode. How'd it go again?
I got some stuff called Guts. I'm going to have it. It's Guts. Going to need it. It's Guts. Guts, Guts, Guts. Guts.
I think I got it by like the second one. I think I understood the pattern.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the people on Nickelodeon told me after I sung it. You know, they're like, you're like, it could have buried it a little bit. I'm like, no, I have a vision.
They didn't even play the second verse where it just goes, guts, 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 and it just keeps going like that.
And I was doing finger banging as I was saying guts.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, don't even show like the contestants or anybody involved. It just me in the middle of the Guts arena just.
Yeah.
Finger banging, guts, 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 guts.
Yeah. So, anyway, you've seen this man bring out the Stanley Cup every single year for God knows how long with the white gloves, and he brings the cup out, and he's in charge of the cup, and it's amazing celebrations. I'm finally so happy to put this interview together. The one and only keeper of the cup, Phil Pritchard, on the line. Let's get him going. So first off, Phil, thanks for giving us a few minutes here. First off, we were excited for this interview because we started talking about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago, whatever it was, right around March, right around when we
when it first kind of closed off.
Yeah, when we shut down basically everything, and our beloved hockey went by the wayside for a little bit, but it is returning within the week. So I guess I first got to ask you, where has Lord Stanley been hanging out for these last 4 months? Have you been with him, or does he go back to the Hall of Fame? Where does he go?
It's been actually locked away in the Hockey Hall of Fame archives for basically 4 months. I think it was March 14th.
Right. Yeah.
Which was a
Saturday.
About
right. Yep.
Till July 15th, which was a Wednesday when the Hockey Hall of Fame reopened and it was back on display for the public to see.
Now,
it's an odd time, really, because it's middle of July and usually the Stanley Cup is all over the place.
Now, when you're away from it for 4 months, do you start to miss it? like a friend?
Well, you know what? It's a great friend because it never talks back to you. And that's You can win every discussion. You can win every argument. But you know what? That aside, I'm probably not the only one that missed hockey. I mean, thousands of fans around the world missed the game, and the NHL has done a great job on putting this back together. And The training camp went successful. Now they're both, all 24 teams are in the bubble now. And
yep.
Exhibition games are this week. And then I think Saturday we're ready to go.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Saturday or Sunday.
That's awesome. So when do you officially start the caretaking job? Is it like, is there a certain period before the Stanley Cup starts, or is there an official protocol when it's like, here's the handoff? How's that happen?
Well, I mean, obviously this year is a unique year. In a traditional year, we would be doing a Stanley Cup media tour with the remaining cities, but we can't really travel back and forth across borders right now.
Right.
So it's pretty safe, close to home right now. It's secure, it's safe. And as the playoffs go on and we get deeper into the playoffs, then we'll start the tour towards Edmonton until it's won. And like they always say, guys, may the best team win.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, my Devils couldn't.
Which won't be the Devils.
Yeah. My Devils couldn't even make the 2014 tournament. But that's okay. That's okay. We'll be back.
I'm sure there's a lot of teams out there that would trade with the Devils. They've won the Cup 3 times in the last 25
years.
That is true. They got a good draft pick coming this year, so their track record has been pretty good.
It has. I will say that. I will agree with that. It just has been an interesting couple years. But, Phil, I got to ask you, how did this all start? How did you become, like, how did you get such a responsibility? Were you around the game and it was given to you? How did you become the keeper of the Cup?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I went to college in the Golden Horseshoe area in Ontario outside of Toronto. And I took an accounting course, graduated, and I thought, I can't picture myself being an accountant forever. I want to do something in sports. So like a lot of people do, they go back to school, and I did that as well. Except this time I took a sports administration course, and my internship was with the Ontario Hockey League, which is one of the junior leagues in Canada, basically one of the leagues that a lot of the guys get drafted for into the National Hockey League.
Right.
So in essence, I guess my hockey journey started there. And I worked there within internships, co-ops, contracts, and then full-time for 4 years before a suggestion was made that, hey, maybe there's an idea you can work at the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're looking to expand. With my background of in the stats and collectibles and stuff, and
right,
it just kind of worked from there. And then, you know, we had such a small staff when I started at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And the first week on the job, I remember it was a Thursday afternoon, I think, or something like that. The Stanley Cup had to go up Northern Ontario, outside of Toronto, for a minor hockey event on the Friday night. And our boss said, who would like to go? And no one put up their hand. And this was a Friday night. I thought, okay, maybe they're going out or they're going to pick up chicks or whatever the case.
Right.
So I said, I'll go, Mr. Morrison, if someone else will go with me. So myself and Jeff Denemy went up. And kind of that was my first gig, if you want to call it that, with the Stanley Cup. And then as time went on, some more events happened, and I just kept putting up my hand. And it was funny. Then by the early 90s, when Commissioner Bettman started, he wanted to take the Stanley Cup from basically behind the scenes during the final and make it part of the TV show. So, and by saying that, when the game was over, he wanted the cameras to stay on the ice. Because
okay.
It was going to be the Stanley Cup presentation and all of that, and
right.
Red carpet and everything. And so the TV stations had no idea what was going to happen. They were just told to stay, don't go to commercial. So that was 1994. The Rangers play the Canucks.
Yeah.
It goes seven games. Yeah, if you remember that.
Oh,
you remember.
I remember me and my brother were allowed to stay up to watch the end of that game, and we both went to bed, I think, crying. Stephen Matteau ruined my day, that's for sure.
Yeah, so anyway, the red carpet comes out, and the TV stations are all on the red carpet. And then the PA system says, ladies and gentlemen, the Stanley Cup. And myself and Scott North walked the Stanley Cup out. And it was like tradition just started right then on the spot.
Right.
It was so cool to be part of. The fans loved it. The TV stations couldn't believe it. And yet nobody really knew what was going to happen other than about a handful of people. So flash forward ahead the next year, the Devils win the cup. And by that time, the league had got the approval that guys were able to take it home for the day.
Yes. Yeah.
So really the 95 Devils were the first team where everyone on the team got the opportunity to take the cup home for a day.
Huh.
Wow.
And so we traveled with them, and the nickname Keeper of the Cup just kind of was built by fans, basically in New Jersey, Detroit, because Detroit won two more after that. Colorado won in between New Jersey and Detroit, but it kind of came from all that.
That's awesome.
Interesting. And it just kind of that tradition just, I don't want to say blow up because that's not the right word, but it grew so fast. And the white gloves and all of that, and it was like it was made for hockey, and no other sport could do that with that much history and tradition. Only hockey could pull that off, and they did it wonderfully.
I agree.
Oh yeah. Now let me ask you: like when they first made this decision, Devils win, or like every player gets a day with a trophy. Did they have like a specific like rule set and plan where like you would have to go up and go, all right, Mr. Lemieux, we can't go over here or there with the cup. We can only do certain things. Or was it just wide open where it was like, he's like, we're going on a yacht. And it's like, okay, here we go.
Well, you know what? I mean, first of all, we didn't know the Devils were going to win in 95, had no idea who was going to win. The NHL board had to approve the whole process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Commissioner Bettman mm-hmm. knew that the team was much bigger than the guys on the ice. It was their moms and dads, their coaches, their spouses, their kids, grandparents, and all of that. And they should be part of this, which is a genius idea.
It's the best.
And so we started making rules on the fly is probably not the right word. We had some basic guidelines and things like that. And as we went along, sitting with the players explaining how this is going to work, because they were as just as new to this as we were, because they got the opportunity to take the Stanley Cup home. Like Billy Guerin got to take it home. Or
yeah.
Marty Brodeur got to take it home.
Yeah, I believe he had a roller hockey
went,
tournament.
We went with them. We went with them so they didn't have to worry about transportation or anything like that. And I mean, we worked with the team for security and everything. So all of that was kind of in place. And then talking to the players, what's their plan for the day? We kind of just went from there. And as this whole so-called new tradition started, we realized we can't go from New York State to California overnight to get the next guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you started working out all these things that you don't really think about at first, or you can't be at a bar all night and then the next morning be at a sick kid's hospital and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And so there was a lot of learning as we went.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was beneficial for everybody, the team, the players, the league, the Hockey Hall of Fame, and especially our guys, the Keeper of the Cups as well. So it was trial and error.
Yeah. I mean, you... you hear the stories about it. You hear the traditions. I remember hearing Marty Brodeur had like a roller hockey tournament or something for the cup, and we had Dave Andrechuk on the show, and he was telling us how he brought it to like every children's hospital in the area. Is there like, I mean, you're going on you're like 25 years with this thing.
Yeah,
is
32 now.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah.
So I'm old. I'm a veteran or experienced or whatever word they.
Nah, you're just getting started.
Noun
you're
of the day is.
Just getting started. I mean, and you've seen everything from babies in the cup to people drinking. Like, is there one thing out of all of them that stands out as the most amazing, or is it just too much to put it into like one winner category?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to understand, and everyone does, that the Stanley Cup champion, he spent their whole life working towards this moment. So whatever they do is going to be special, whether it's family photos on a yacht or whether it's spending the day at sick kids hospital because they have a loved one that's in there.
Yeah.
Or whether it's a party at their home rink or whatever. They put a lot of thought into this. So everyone is special. For me personally, I love when we go to a new city or a new country and the fans get to see it for the first time. And nothing against going to the same city twice, because obviously a lot of guys come from a lot of the same towns and cities. But when you go to a place that's never had it before and you experience their excitement or their culture, if it's overseas, or their types of food or their traditions and that, and you think, this is what hockey has done.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge.
Now, when you, since you're the keeper of the cup, are you almost more happy when you hear somebody wants to just have like a boring day and like bring it to their house and have a few people over? Or you're almost like, hey, we got this fireworks excursion happening. You're like, yeah, let's go.
I don't know if I've ever been to a boring day at a Stanley Cup party, because a lot of the guys will say, yeah, I'm just going to have a family and a few friends over. But they have friends and they have friends. And that nice little dinner has now become 100 people dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
And the street gets blocked off and everything. And the amazing part of it is, and it's all awesome, but today's world of social media, you have to be so careful on who you're inviting and how it's being invited by, because if it gets tweeted out or on Instagram or something or Facebook, and next thing you know, you got the whole town coming to your backyard. And that's happened, and that's been a great Stanley Cup party too. But I think the guys, they understand the power of social media now, and they understand what it means to them and how closely knit they want their party to be, because that day might be the only time in their life they get to bring the cup home. Hopefully not. Hopefully they win it again. But it could be the one and only time, so make it a good one.
Yeah, I mean, give us a peek behind the curtain as far as, like, you know, okay, so the Stanley Cup happens, you get through the guys, and then your personal travels with this thing. Like, I know the cup has been damaged, and it's had different iterations and whatnot, but when you are just with it, like, does it take for that whole run with the cup, are you allowed to have, like, any days off with it, or do you have like another guy that, or is it you pretty much are locked in with that cup all the time?
Well, I mean, your first part, it's 127 years old now. When you and I are 127, we're going to have some damage.
Oh yeah. Or Pantera is going to throw us off the roof.
Yeah. So we try and keep it as best we can, but each one of those dings or dents or they tell a story of what the Stanley Cup is. And just like, a veteran or a soldier or something, they have a story for everything. And that's what's really cool.
Yeah.
So with regards to the travel part though, so the team gets 100 days with it.
100 days. Okay.
And between that 100 days, they have their parade, they have their team functions, they have the team photos, the players all get it, the coaching staff, the equipment guys, you know, the trainers, the scouts, the owners. That 100 days goes really fast, and it's day after day after day. So there are a couple of other guys that work with me as well, so we try and swap in and out when we can, when geographically it works out and things like that, and we can intercept one another along the way. But for us, we're there to make their day great, and that's what we want at the end of it. So we don't want to be tired out there. If we're running on fumes, we want to have another one of the keepers come out and help, because that player is a Stanley Cup champion. They've earned that and we're part of their day, and we want to make it as special for them as they can be.
It's just amazing that you're touring on a schedule like Metallica for a trophy. You know what I mean? You're like, maybe even more grueling. Like, that's got to be an adjustment too, as far as life on the road like that.
Well, I'm guessing, guys, Metallica have their own plane. We don't. We go commercial airlines. So we're standing in line at the airport.
Does the cup go with you, or does it get first class?
I was about to say, like, you're checking in the cup, or you put it back in the carriage.
Oversized baggage, TSA, and everything. But you know, the airlines are great, and we're fortunate with hockey fans everywhere. They once we check it in and, you know, do the proper security and everything, they take it and they put it in special services, which is basically the area under the pilots.
Okay.
So there's a special there. So they put it in there, and then they let you know before I get on the plane that it's on, it's all good. And then when we get off, they hand it to, they get it out and get it for you again. So it's that special, treatment the Stanley Cup gets. But
so there's no chance one day I'm getting on a plane like in seat 7A, and then the guy next to me is you and the cup and the other two seats, right?
No, probably not. Probably not. Well, you know, the funny thing and all that is, it's great they do that, but then you got to wait by the carousel for your luggage to come out, and you're hoping it's going to be on the plane.
No.
You're hoping your luggage comes, and sometimes we go without our luggage because it didn't arrive, but as long as we got the cup,
that's crazy.
That can't care about.
So do you keep like a spare pair of like underwear and t-shirts just in case you lose your luggage in the cup, just to make extra sure you got a change of clothes when you get there?
I got a spare pair of white gloves with me. I remember it's funny, a few years ago, the Chicago Blackhawks had won the cup, and their executive vice president, Jay Blunk, it was his day. And we had flown back, I think we were in Europe, and we flew back into Chicago. And then he lived south of Chicago down in southern Illinois, and our bags didn't show up. So we get a hold of Jay, say, Jay, we got our stuff. We don't have any bags, though. Don't worry about it. Just come on. We're going to have a great time. So we get there, and he hands, it was Walt Newbrand and I, the other cup keeper were with him. He hands me and Walt the identical same golf shirt, identical pair of shorts. He got his brand new undies. He goes, here you go. That's all I could come up with. So we looked like we were Bobsy twins walking around, but it was great. His day was great, and it was awfully nice of him to reach out and get stuff for us. So,
Phil, I want you to be honest with me. Under all your years with the cup, has the cup ever been misplaced?
Not on my watch.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
Hey, and fingers crossed, guys, it doesn't happen. You know what? The worst thing is you arrive in Moscow, Russia, and you go, well, the cup's not here, but I'm here. And they go, so what? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, if the story's the Stanley Cup, I'm just the sideshow.
Yeah.
Now, with all the planning, with traveling and all that, what is like the biggest thing on your job list? Is it security? Is it like time management? What keeps you up when you get ready for this next person's day?
I think it's a combination of the two you said, the time management, security, public relations point, being a historian. Sometimes we're a party planner as well, because we'd go to the event and they'd have a lineup for the Stanley Cup, and you're thinking, well, this line's never going to get done with the amount of time we're here, so we have to help out with that and everything, or you're a photographer sometime. Again, at the end of it, we want to make sure that player and family has a great day. So however we can help out in whatever way, if it's doing a little presentation to his family about the history of the Cup, the story of the engraving process and where their name's going to go, whatever it is, we're happy to do it. And it's, as you guys all know, it's thrilled to be part of the hockey community. It's such a great community.
Yeah.
Great people.
Mm. Yeah.
And best sport in the world and greatest trophy there is.
I agree with that. It's funny you said that, Phil, because as you're talking, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she was the one who took me and my brother to hockey games. She was a she was back in the day where she'd go to Rovers games at MSG, and then she lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, became a Devils fan, and she used to take us. And I still have a picture, and it's funny, as you're talking, I just kind of thought about that, where Ken Danico had like a public event in his backyard, and somehow she got invited to it and got a picture with the Stanley Cup in his backyard. So I get what you're saying, you know, you get what you're saying as far as like fans getting, you know, a chance to be by it and what it means. And it's pretty amazing that it's still going all these years.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, and use Ken Danico as an example. Ken's a great guy, but he might have heard about your grandmother, that she's a big hockey fan, and thought it'd be great to reach out. And that's what the guys do. I don't know if they know everyone at their parties. They hear about stories, or they hear about kids that are under the weather or maybe can't play hockey or anything or something like that, or can't afford it. They invite them and make them part of it, and that's so cool. Like last year in St. Louis, Layla was one of the girls that the Blues kind of supported along the way. And she got invited to probably half a dozen Stanley Cup parties. So she was there with her, and her mom got to know them really well. And they were so appreciative, but so was the player as well, for what they brought to the team and what they meant to it and everything. And it's just it's a really neat atmosphere to be part of. And I'm sure for any guy, I mean, Kenny Danico won it a few times, but for any player, they did it once, they want to do it again and make their Stanley Cup party even more unique next time.
Have you ever thought about writing a book about like just all the different experiences of the Cup over the years? I think it'd be fascinating.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, a lot of people say that and everything, but I think it's the guys' stories to share each and every one of their individual ones. I guess from my point, it would be a historical point of view from it. And what is neat in that. But for a guy like Alex Ovechkin, you need his viewpoint to make it as special as it is. I'd be a third-party story, which often works in that, but I think in this world, for Alex to share his excitement on when he won it and what he did, I think the book would be a lot more fascinating after they write it than myself.
Nah, you're too modest. I think your story is pretty damn amazing too.
I want to win it still too, though. I want to win it.
You got time. You got time.
Yeah, you haven't seen me skate, eh?
Now, I gotta ask you, and if we can get some kind of story by omitting names, so be it. But I got to ask, is there any story in particular where somebody said, I want to do this, where you had to flat out say, oh, absolutely not, that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I've got one. It's a good one, actually. Dallas Stars win the Cup in 1999. Mm-hmm. And we fly back to Dallas from Buffalo. They have a couple of their team parties and that, and they have the team photo that day. So they're all in the dressing room, and we're meeting them all officially. So we've kind of met them on the plane and through the parties, but not official yet. So they know who I am, and you know, but now you get to introduce yourself. So Blake Sloan comes up to me, and Blake had played in the International Hockey League that season. He wins the Turner Cup in Houston. Dallas calls him up for the final. So here's a kid that's played his minor leagues, wins the Turner Cup. Dallas calls him up. He's now playing in the Stanley Cup final against Buffalo. He wins. So in 1 month, he wins the Turner Cup and the Stanley Cup. So he's the rookie on the Stars. So we're sitting there, and he walks up and introduces himself. And I say, Blake, what a summer you have so far. It hasn't even begun yet. And he tells me, you know, I'm from outside of Chicago and I want to take the Cup home and I want to go skydiving.
Oh, God.
And it's all quiet. Eh? The whole dressing room is quiet. It's like everybody is listening to the story. And I don't say a thing and he doesn't say a thing. And all the players are all sitting there, Medano and Craig Ludwig, no one's saying a thing. And then he busts out laughing, and he goes, I don't want to go skydiving. I just wanted to see what I could and could do. So I just started with the worst-case scenario, and we'll go from there. And they all started laughing. And but his day, we went back to just outside of Chicago. He had a road hockey tournament on the street with all his buddies, and they played for the Stanley Cup, and that's he had a big party that night. And
that's so cool.
It was awesome. But I think, and just from all the guys that I've met with and dealt with over the years, they would never do anything to damage the reputation of the National Hockey League or their team or themselves, or of course the Stanley Cup, because they've worked so hard for it. So whatever they do, they're going to do with respect, and they're going to do with honor and dignity and preserve that tradition. Their buddies, on the other hand, that might be a whole new podcast. That might be a different podcast, guys.
We'll have you on when you retire to tell us those ones.
Well, maybe I can be one of the buddies one time, too, because they always have a great party for those guys, for all their hockey player buddies.
I love it.
And it's funny. It doesn't matter who the player is. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be the Sidney Crosbys of the world. It could be whoever. For their buddies, all he is his next-door neighbor. They don't care that he's the greatest hockey player in the world. He's the guy they grew up with. And the player gets that, and they have nicknames for one another, and it's like they just came back for a reunion.
I love that.
And, I brought the Stanley Cup, too. Oh. And it's awesome to see their interaction, because there's no media around, so they're not concerned about what's being heard or what they have to say and what they don't. They're with their closest friends.
Yes.
And it's so special to see them relax, and they've achieved their peak, and they invite their friends to celebrate with them. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Phil, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time. It's really interesting. I could pick your brain all day about your experiences and whatnot. I guess my last question for you is a two-parter. One, do you still love what you do, and what do we expect going forward as far as this season for you? And then two, just where can people kind of get in touch with you and check out what you're doing?
Well, I mean, besides Keeper of the Cup, I'm the curator at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. So for any of your listeners, if
that's awesome,
come on up. I'd love to meet them all. Love listening to the hockey stories and sharing hockey stories, because in the hockey world, everyone's got a story, and they're always great. So being a curator, I look after all the displays and the artifacts of that at the hall. And we have 80,000 square feet of hockey history there, obviously including the Stanley Cup rings, and the whole history of the National Hockey League and hockey in general. So for that, I love that part of it.
Yeah.
For the Keeper of the Cup side, I think it's great. I love walking out on the red carpet every year. It gives me the chills up the spine to be that close to a new chapter in the day of the life of the Stanley Cup. As we move forward into how it's going to happen in the next few months, hey, maybe we can chat after it's won, and I can keep you updated on what's happening.
Sure. Yeah, I would love to.
Because it's obviously a unique year with COVID and that, and there's a lot of restrictions and travel restrictions, but hopefully by the time it's won, which will be early October, hopefully our world, fingers crossed, is getting back to normal in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there's a Stanley Cup parade that could be had, I'm sure people would be out for it.
Phil, thank you so much for your time. I find you really fascinating, and you've just been a great guest on the podcast. So thank you so much.
No problem. You can follow along at Keeper of the Cup on Twitter, too. We'll share some stories and highlight some stuff.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, man. And be safe, and I'll send this to you when it's up. We might even throw it up tonight. I'm not sure. We got to look at what we got. So I will send it to you and tag you all in it, and thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Keep in touch, guys. And Scotty, as always, it took 4 months to make it happen, but we got a hockey season out of it. So
hey.
I think it was worth it.
I'm just so glad you kept in touch, and I actually think it worked out for the better, because it is better going, you know, with some excitement that we got it back. So I agree.
I can't wait to hear the stories of Gritty with the cup.
It's funny.
Go Flyers.
Yeah, I was at my office is at the Ford Performance Center, where the teams practice right now. So all 12 teams are practicing today. So I have to kind of go into the bubble each day, but I can come out at night because I'm on a different level. I'm on the second floor and the ice is on the first floor, so I can leave.
Okay.
But they, the fires were flying today. Like it, the Flyers and the Rangers looked like they were full speed. There was no getting ready on this Toronto ice. They were flying.
Listen. You should have seen the Devils golf game today. It was unreal. Guys were driving 350 foot, you know, straight up, dead red. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, Scott, we'll be on the NHL Network. You go back to ESPN Classic, okay?
Phil. Johnny, Mike, it's always good chatting with you guys.
Phil, thanks.
Pleasure, my friend.
The world.
I will. I'll keep in touch. Will. Thanks so much, Phil. Phil Pritchard. What a great interview.
Yeah. He'll have so much fun just handing it off to each player in the bubble and saying, well, that was a great tour.
Yeah, I highly doubt there's going to be babies in that or people drinking out of that. Or, yeah, like, people are going to drink out of it, but they're going to have to take 5 minutes to sanitize it between guys. It's going to lose a little bit of the effect, but what an unbelievable guest. That was really cool.
You think he sits back and almost roots for some cities to win? Like, I got to think.
Definitely.
Like,
definitely. He would never admit it, but 100%. Like, which ones he's never been to, or like a player he really likes on the team, you know? Like,
you know, when it was like Pittsburgh and Las Vegas, he's like, oh, God, not Pittsburgh. Oh, no. No. I've been there enough. No.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably root for like guys. I'm sure he gets to know players like pretty close, you know, guys who've never won it before would probably be pretty cool, or cities you never get to go to that much might be fun. But yeah, I don't know. I guess so. Segue here. I don't know how to segue to this, but might as well just go right for it. Yesterday, Mike, my wife and I had our first birthing class.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So played the birther?
Me. Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I played the baby. Like, nah, you know. we did it over Zoom. Didn't know what to expect because they're obviously, you know, it was recommended by our doctors. They said, you know, it's your first child. You should take this and get an idea of it's four times for 2 hours. So it was our first one yesterday. And we were out hanging with some friends outside, and I was like, oh, we got to leave. Like, this stinks. But, you know, we got on, and initially it was interesting. It's like this woman, she's older. She was an old, she was a nurse, like a emergency OR nurse or whatever for years and years and years. And now she teaches these classes. And like the first 20 minutes, I'm like, this stinks. She's kind of just reading like a lot of definitions and stuff of like different terms. And I was like, I hope
so. She was like a fifth grade history teacher to begin with.
Kind of. Yeah. And it was like a sheet that you get all this paperwork that you follow along with. Then it started to open up. And my God, birth is an interesting process. That's for sure. Did you know that like towards the end of a pregnancy, like the eighth, ninth month, sometimes like a woman will hear, like feel a baby shaking, like kind of shaking, you know, like little tremors almost. Do you know what that is?
What is it, Scotty?
I was hoping you would guess with some crazy answer.
The baby's doing the shimmy shimmy, kind of like the finger bang thing I talked about earlier.
Yeah. The baby actually cries. I never thought of that before. Aww. The baby actually like sobs inside of the womb. Like, well, start, but apparently, you know, there's no oxygen there, so there's no sound, which is pretty amazing. So like a baby will be just crying inside the womb. Do you remember crying inside the womb?
Before, during, and after birth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All three. Yeah. Yeah. I was a whiny little kid.
But
basically, the woman's womb is like space.
It's kind of like space. Yeah, it's kind of like a big bag of fluid. Like, it's just floating. It's almost like the ocean more than anything, you know? Like, and the oxygen source is obviously coming through the umbilical cord. So they're not breathing actually oxygen yet until they are birthed and the umbilical cord is cut and whatnot. But, oh, man, like, all I'm thinking about during this is like, my God, do we have it easy as men with this whole process? Jesus Christ. Like, when they're talking and they're showing like all the organs that shrink and get pushed on and things that are growing and this change, the side effects you might feel, blah, 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 blah. Pretty phenomenal, Mike, to be to be a man as far as not having to go through that. It's pretty admirable, man. So, like, I don't know. I came out of that thing like, God, like, I can't believe every woman who's had a child has gone through this before. It's unreal.
We should really just transition to, like, eggs, I think. Like, women just pushing out eggs. That way they don't have to worry about that stuff, but we don't have to worry about, like, karma when the next generation where, like, men have to get birth.
For a second, I thought you just meant, like, men should transition to eggs? Like, just physical, like, we're just eggs now? Like,
yeah. You know, yeah, okay. I saw a couple episodes of Mork and Mindy. It doesn't seem that hard. I mean, you just go into a big egg, you say nanu nanu, and then poof, your life has changed.
Yeah, like, this whole time, I'm just sitting there, like, listening. Oh, man, we are women. If you are listening, if there's any women listening to this podcast, who knows?
First question is why?
Get off of our airways.
Man hour.
Aisha Ash, how do you always get on the podcast during this time? But Jesus Christ, man, it was intense. And I'm like, they covered so much, and I'm like, oh my God, we have three classes left. Like, what more is there? Like, I couldn't comprehend all the information after. She told this one story, and this is not a funny story. This is actually unbelievably inspirational. So I figured I'd tell it for the podcast. I was thinking about it. She said she was working in, like, around 2000, and this woman came in. She was, like, leaking amniotic fluid or whatever. So she knew. And apparently this woman, like, knew her vocabulary and everything, knew what was going on. She came in. She said, I'm 19 weeks pregnant, and I'm leaking fluid. And I've come to this hospital. Now, this is a shout-out to Morristown Hospital. I know you guys are listening, right, Morristown?
What up, my nurses?
All these women are giving birth to our podcast right now. But Morristown Hospital is very, very, very well renowned for baby delivery and their NICU and everything like that. It's like considered the safest, like, one in New Jersey, basically. So she came, yeah. And apparently,
last place is Camden, by the way, everybody. Do not give birth in Camden. Do not be born in Camden. Do not breathe in Camden. Unless you're at the aquarium, that's pretty cool.
So this woman came in apparently during a snowstorm, like a really bad snowstorm. And she explained that, like, in a snowstorm, if you're a licensed physician or whatever, you have to stay. And then, like, other whatever, I might be mixing this part up, but they were able to go home. So this woman came in. She said, I'm 19 weeks pregnant. I'm leaking amniotic fluid or whatever. This is my fourth attempt at pregnancy. I've lost three children. Wow. Yeah. So apparently she called the doctor, and it was this big snowstorm, and was like, look, you know, what can you do? And apparently, like, 19 weeks is pretty much nothing. It's just too early. You know what I mean? Like, it's too early. Child's not developed. The eyes aren't developed, things like that. So apparently what this woman did, they got the doctor back, and I might be saying this wrong. Amniocentesis is where they take amniotic fluid out. Like, if they got to take a sample, they're able to do it somehow. And he said, can I try something with you? It's like a reverse of that, basically putting something in. And he was putting, like, a couple grams of, I don't know the chemical people, so I'm not a doctor, putting something in there. And the nurse that was doing this class had the woman, this is crazy, like, lying on her stomach, kind of with her butt up, and that's the position she had to stay for weeks. Wow. And weeks and weeks. And apparently the woman, she said the woman never complained. And once a week or twice a week or whatever, this doctor would add whatever it is, kind of like, I guess, almost like a preventative or like maybe something the baby would need.
Lack of a better term, he's changing the oil from a leaking engine.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. And apparently they like by April came, and the girl, now this is every day the woman sitting like this in one position so nothing could, I guess, come out and keep everything in. And they took her outside one time to see that it was spring for 10 minutes, and she was like rejuvenated. And sure enough, the baby was, she was able to have this baby. The baby was born small and was in the NICU or whatever, a couple pounds. And she said that she writes a letter to them every single year, and the baby went on to, like, you know, whatever, playing sports and playing instruments. It was like so mind-blowingly, like, inspirational and the sacrifice that a woman can make for their child. I was like, I had freaking tears in my, like, I was welling up. I'm like, this is unbelievable story. Like, in the way she was telling it, I was just like, I don't know, man. It just hit me in a way where I was like, this is like unbelievably amazing, like unbelievable what a woman goes through.
That is an incredible story. Now I'll kind of tell a quick opposite story of how horrible men are. I used to work with a guy who was married to his wife, obviously. I believe she had 5 miscarriages.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And she was pregnant again. And basically, the hospital said, you know, but when she got pregnant again, I think she was only like 3 months into it, they pretty much said she has to live in the hospital. The only way we can prevent her having another miscarriage is to have her live in the hospital for multiple months until this baby can get fully grown and give birth. This guy, not the best guy on the planet by any stretch of imagination. Number one, he would go to basically what would happen is he had a side piece in our Bulgaria facility. In fact, the guy literally got a job for the girl to work under him in our IT department. That's the kind of scummy thing he was. Like, I even remember I was in Bulgaria at the time working on something. Like, I opened one of the office doors and I saw the person in question, the girl, the guy, and our CIO in the room together, like, chatting. And they're like, oh, we're in the middle of something, come back. So I kind of figured what he was doing. And, like, I remember, like, later on in the day, he came up to me and started bragging, man, hey, can you believe this? And all blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at him, shaking my head. So I think she might have been in the hospital for a month. And he basically declared, I can't take this anymore. And he demanded work, send him to Bulgaria to do work. Like, he had a project. Wasn't like I need to be there for a project. Like, even the company was telling him, you know, if your wife's in the hospital, we're fine with it. You can stick around. He's like, no, it's cool. It's cool. And so he went over to Bulgaria for 2 weeks to get his freak on. Side note, he got that Bulgarian girl pregnant. I don't know the story of how that ended up, but from what I understand, at least his wife gave birth to the kid. So I'm happy for the wife. I don't know their situation. I don't talk to the guy. I have no desire to talk to the guy. But when sometimes you question, why do women think we're scum? There's an example story for you.
It's awful. And you ever... think back at you ever think back like at times like where you've witnessed like dudes just being complete dirtbags and wish you said something? Like, I think about it all the time. Like, I wish I just opened my mouth. Like, at least I've been like, you're a dirtbag, man. Like say something. Like, I think nowadays I would definitely say a lot more than I would when I was like in my 20s and teens especially. But like, I think half the problem is like a lot of dudes, like there's some stupid ass like guy code or whatever it is. Like, guy's got to speak up, man. Something like that is just so atrocious. I mean, how do you live with yourself like that? It's brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I guess with everything happening, 2020 made the world reboot, for lack of a better term. We're coming up and everything is changing. Like, probably 80% that's going to happen from 2020. It's like, well, if we didn't have a pandemic, this was never going to happen. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. I hate to think saying 140,000 people passing away from a deadly disease is a blessing.
It's a plandemic, Mike. You didn't know that the Democrats planned the entire world to get affected just to get Trump out of all this. They wanted all those dead Italians, and they wanted it to go all over the world just to affect this election. You didn't know that?
Well, I'm not voting for Democrats because clearly they're going to screw up the baseball season.
Yeah.
They might have gave it to some of my Phillies, which I do not appreciate, okay? If you're going to do a worldwide scam, that's fine. But don't mess with my baseball team, all right? Or my football team, which is named the football team.
I just love that asinine thought, like, listen, the government lies to you all the time, but do you think they have enough power to be like, get a meeting with the world, be like, you know what we need? We need a global pandemic. We need a lot of people to die just to push our own agenda. Like, is the world that evil, man? It's, come on.
Add to it, it's not like the top person of our country doing it. Apparently, the third level highest person in our country is able to get the whole world to go, psst, all right, now don't tell anybody. Here's the plan. No, no, no. Do not put on that right wing site. No, they will find out.
It's just so absurd, man. It's that kind of thinking. Like, people like to think that it's only happening here. Like, they ignore that it happened over in Europe and Asia for two months before it even came here. You know, like, they love to forget that. It's like, we're doomed.
Are we supposed to be concerned with people in other countries? Did that start? What?
Yeah, believe it or not, they got some cases, Mike. They got some.
All right, I'll care about a couple of the countries, but not Puerto Rico, all right? Don't make me do that. Oh. I love you, Puerto Rico. I'm just kidding. It's fine. We're friends. Pump, piss pump.
Well, Mike, so my whole point of this is women, God bless you, because this is, like, just learning all that stuff is amazing. I have three more, so I'm sure I'll be able to give you guys more of my observations, but it was pretty incredible. But, Mike,
Before we go, I just really hope, like, when the baby's ready, you, like, forget your training and you got to pull up this podcast to remember everything.
Yeah. This episode particularly, be like, oh, crap, which one was it? 314, 315, what was it?
The baby's coming. Oh, crap, I put on the Zap episode. Damn it.
I don't see us segueing anywhere fantastic after that. So I think it's time to go, Mike. I think it's been a fantastic episode, so let's keep it that way, and we'll continue on Monday. That's what it'll come down to.
If somebody puts out something
on Monday. Yeah, we'll see if our department gets on it. They're lazy, that office, but we really got to go down there and start cracking some heads. But Berlew, anything to promote before we go?
I will promote our former guest from a few weeks ago, Wix Patton. Wix. He just put out a new song. The song is called Why, W-H-Y. His official video is out. You can catch it on YouTube. For those who don't know, Wix Patton was a former tight end for the University of Georgia Bulldogs, who basically started the UGA anthem, and then he came out with a few other songs. He's really starting to grow here in Atlanta in the hip-hop community, but check out his new song. The video's really cool. It's full of claymation, which I really love. The song is Why. The singer is Wix Patton. Check him out.
Yeah, and I'll continue in a similar vibe musically. We were lucky enough to have two members of Coheed and Cambria, one of my favorite bands of all time, on the show, and the lead singer, Claudio Sanchez, has put out this pretty cool video. They cover Rush, but he's with members of Tool, Danny Carey from Tool, the drummer, Les Claypool, the bassist of Primus, one of the guys from Mastodon, one of the guys from Cave-In and Mutoid Man, and they did a cover of Rush, which is pretty interesting because Claudio has always been compared to Geddy Lee of Rush, and I don't know, it was pretty damn cool. So go check them out. Go check out Claudio's page, and 2 Minutes to Late Night is a series that does it. They do a bunch of covers in like people's living rooms, and it was a pretty badass song. So I figured you guys should just go check it out. That's it, guys. Please share our podcast on all your social medias or emails or just with a friend and whatnot. And check us out on various podcast platforms, from the RTVF Podcast Network to the BS Podcast Network to Denville Radio to Discover County Network. So we got a lot of areas. Just look us up. Leave us reviews on iTunes. That's it, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Thank you, Phil.
What you got? Got what we have. Got everybody to the gods.
This is our last episode.